Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, it's 3:30 on Friday, which means our friend from Action Network, whom you have not met yet.
No, I have not.
But you will meet him right now. He was money last week. Colin Wilson, Action Network. We'll get the gambling perspective on college football for the weekend. Hello, sir.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Always good to have you. Now, let's start with tonight's game. The Cougs, Washington State. We've got a lot of Coug fans up here. They're on the road at Houston. It's teacher versus pupil, because I think Dana Holgorsen was working under Mike Leach at one point. What are you thinking on this game?
Yeah, you know, this is a game where everybody's going to think that this is going to be very high scoring. Of course, there's Mike Leach with the air raid. And then there's Houston, who has ran the air raid in the past, and they're a high-octane offense. Except now they have Dana Holgorsen, and his scheme and his plan offensively doesn't really fit what De'Ara King has done in the past, especially last year when Houston had Kendall Briles as the offensive coordinator. So actually, I'm expecting an under here. I've got money myself on under 73.5. The pace of play is really what's the problem here. It's not the fact that these teams can't score points. It's the fact that Houston's not a hurry up, no huddle, get it down the field, run the go routes, kind of like Leach would do. So, you know, what's funny is people don't know this about Washington State is as many points as they put up, they're actually not a really that fast paced team. Like, they will get to the ball and they will like run the clock out. It's not like they're snapping it with 25 seconds left. And so there's kind of a misconception that Washington State is a fast team. They're a high-scoring team, but they're not a fast team.
Let's take a look here. Let's stick in the Pac-12 here with Stanford, who I think Stanford is living off reputation, and they're going on the road to Central Florida. Did I see this right, that Central Florida is favored by 9?
Central Florida is favored by 9, and this is kind of a hot topic with me. I've been against Central Florida for a number of years. The claims to the national championship, and then, you know, we belong in the college football playoff. Central Florida just needs to stop. Some of that conversation really needs to stop. I'm glad LSU beat them in the Fiesta Bowl and covered that game. And LSU was missing most of their defense last year. But Stanford's in a really bad spot tomorrow. They lost their left tackle. He was first team all Pac-12. They lost another player, Foster Searle, on the offensive line, who could have filled in at left tackle. So Costello's coming back from injury at quarterback, but I don't know why he's playing this game. They just played USC. Next week they play Oregon. Why would you want to fly out, have a kickoff at, let me think, what is this, 12:30 PST time,
yeah,
Pacific
yeah.
time? Yeah, I mean, it just makes no sense to me why you would play Costello. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a healthy scratch when they kick off and just, you know, kind of let Mills go at it and save all the guns and save all the plays for Oregon and for Pac-12 play.
So the Beavers and Ducks both play FCS schools this week. The Beavers by 16.5 over Cal Poly, and then Oregon by 37 over Montana. Sports gun to your head, is there one better than the other? Stay away. What do you think?
I think Oregon State's the one that's going to try harder to get more. I mean, after that loss last week, they should have won that game against Hawaii. And, you know, it was fun last week. We talked about Washington and Cal and how much I loved Cal at 13. I didn't know that they were going to win that game straight up. But that game finished way later than the Oregon State-Hawaii game, than the Island game. So Oregon State had that game won. They led at halftime. They let it slip away. And next thing you know, I'm waking up the next morning, and Nick Rolovich down at Hawaii is tweeting out pictures of the Rose Bowl. So, you know, I think Oregon State's going to be the one that has a better chance to cover because of the motivation of losing. I think they're fired up. And you know, Oregon, on the other hand, they may pass. Cristobal may pass until we get, you know, next week. We don't show anything for Stanford.
Now, I'm kind of scratching my head on this one because I played at BYU, so I'm a blue Coug, but I see that USC is only favored by 4. BYU is not any good. Don't let Tennessee fool you. Am I wrong in saying that I might lay some serious wood here on USC?
You are an alumni contrarian. I'm the same. I graduated from Arkansas, and anytime I talk about my university, I'm always talking bad about them all the time. BYU is one of my most favorite teams to bet on, and the reason is because they have the trench to the offensive line and the defensive line to hang with Power 5 teams. They were number one in the nation last year in stopping a stat called ISO PPP. And what that is that is an that is a statistic that measures explosive plays. So BYU was number one in the nation last year in stopping explosive plays. You look at Tennessee last week, they had one pass that went over 20 yards. You look through all the drive log, Tennessee was not able to get it down the field. BYU wants to stay in the trenches. They want to get dirty and make it a fist fight, and they want to make it a slow game. You look at Keaton Slovis, he did the air raid in his past. He knew Graham Harrell's offense, so around the second, third quarter, he was really able to step up and get the ball down the field and do what USC wanted to do. And USC is just stronger than Stanford in the trenches. So this week's going to be a different story. You have Utah. USC has Utah on deck on Friday night. The biggest game probably in the Pac-12 South is going to be on a short week for USC. They're going to go into this grind against BYU. And remember, BYU keeps everything in front of them. You can push them down the field, but you can't beat them over the top. So I expect it to be a physical game. Whether if you're a USC fan, I bet on BYU this week. I think 4.5 is way too many points.
In your face, Duke.
Go Cougs!
And I'm going to say that if I was USC, I would just take a loss here and save everything for the Utah. The entire season rides on Utah in the Pac-12 South next week.
Hey, I'm feeling a lot better. I needed that.
I was with you.
I needed some faith. I looked at that and was like, 4? What the hell?
You got it. You have to take Zach Wilson's performances against Utah and throw him out. Something's going on with the Holy War. When Zach Wilson's in the Potato Bowl, he's going 18 of 18 for 300 yards and no INTs, right? But when he plays Utah, things just happen. So you got to throw that out. I love Zach Wilson. I love BYU.
It bothers me that he looks like Justin Bieber. Maybe that's what it is. I look at him and it bothers me that he's my quarterback. It's a personal grudge I have. I can't help it. Well,
when he wins you a few bets, you like him a lot more.
No question.
That's true.
Okay, this is Colin Wilson, Action Network, every Friday at 3:30, college football gambling. Okay, so you said you're an Arkansas guy. We were just talking about them the other day, about how we were doing the backup quarterback game in the NFL, and we said, if you don't know where a guy played quarterback in college, you should guess Arkansas, because it's just like nondescript, yeah. Man. It's like they're in the SEC and football matters and big stadium and everything, but why can't Arkansas ever like get over the hump and be really good?
I have to stop laughing. You guys are going to crack. I'm going to crack myself up here. I was on campus in 2000 and we signed a kid from the intramural. We had a kid on the intramural football field. I was playing flag football with this kid. We ran out of quarterbacks. We ran through 5 quarterbacks. And they came and scooped him up off the intramural field. That's how bad quarterback is at the University of Arkansas. So until your program picks up flag football kids, you really haven't seen how bad it can get at the position. I don't know what's going on. I mean, currently right now, Ben Hicks was signed because he knows Chad Morris's system from SMU. He came in. He just isn't able to get anything down the field. The skill position players are bad right now. Nick Starkle came in and had a drive where he had hit some explosive plays. We go back to that. He had a couple of long passes, but then the offensive line will jump off sides, will line up in the wrong position, motion, everything. Just poor execution. And this game against Colorado State. Listen, Colorado State, bottom 10 team in the nation, maybe in FBS. Colin Hill hit 2 different receivers for 75-yard passes last week. I know that their competition isn't Arkansas, but they beat Arkansas last year. And if they're hitting 75-yard passes down the field, they can do it against Arkansas.
I want to ask you.
Wait. I gotta throw something back at you though, real quick. Real quick. We're gonna move on here. But you're talking about quarterbacks. I don't want to hear it. I am from Kansas, and the guy that they have playing tonight, this kid's name is Carter Stanley, might be the worst quarterback I have ever seen on planet Earth ever.
There's a Sitkowski kid up at Rutgers that had, I think, 3 touchdowns and 18 interceptions last year. Oh. So that's a lot to live up to.
Well, watch out for Stanley. He's coming for him.
They did lose to Coastal Carolina, of all people.
Yes, they did.
I know. It's Kansas football is a source of –
let's not talk about it. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Let's just move on. But another crappy team. Thoughts on the game and then what you think of what's happening there. But last year I thought – Chip Kelly would come in and give a spark to UCLA. They have been dreadful. And now this thing, they got Oklahoma coming in. They're giving away free tickets, and they're what, 24-point dogs?
Yeah, and I don't understand this line whatsoever. I don't have any money on this game because a lot of the guys that I trust that are laying 5 figures out in Vegas are telling me this line's too big, which I agree with. I mean, I make the game 19. So at 24, technically, yes, it is too much money. But I don't believe investing in teams that can't protect the ball. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is a turnover waiting. He could walk down the sidewalk to the grocery store and the ball would fall out of his arms. I can't put money on teams that have problems with turnovers. They haven't adopted to Chip's pace of play. The defense is a mess. We got transfers transferring in and out, and Dorian Thompson-Robinson hasn't done anything to chase off other quarterbacks. So I have a hard time laying the money with UCLA this week against Oklahoma. Oklahoma, listen to this stat if you guys didn't know. Jalen Hurts, 7 incompletions on the year, 9 touchdowns. Nice. That's insane.
He's no Carter Stanley. All right. First big test for Arizona State. They're flirting with actually being a pretty good team. Some would say, although they didn't look very good last week, they're a 2-touchdown underdog at Michigan State. This is kind of a good one for the Pac-12 sort of reputation. Who covers in that game?
That's a tough one because my podcast partner and I cut our pod last night. And he said, you know, I think we got to take Arizona State. And I said, well, again, if you look at the number, 14.5 is too much. And you should be on Arizona State. But the problem is I had money on Sacramento State last week in a spread of 35 against Arizona State. And I was just waiting for one drive, for Arizona State to have one drive from Williams to show me something good from the freshman. And they couldn't get anything going. Their entire offense is predicated upon him taking a 7-step drop, rifling it 40 yards over the safeties and hoping somebody catches it. That's the entire offense. Now, the defense is fantastic. The 3-3-5 that Danny Gonzalez is running there is the defensive coordinator. They can stop anybody passing. They're going to stop Michigan State. They're going to stop Brian Lewerke from throwing it down the field. The problem is Michigan State has a very, very good rush game right now, and they're 4th in the nation in havoc. And when I say havoc, that means passes defensed, passes broken up, sacks, forced fumbles, that kind of thing that happens on defense. That's called havoc. And Michigan State's 4th in the country. So I'm not laying it with Arizona State. I don't trust the kid on offense, and Michigan State's rush offense is they've really picked up there. But it's going to be a slow moving game. If you want to bet something, bet the under, because my podcast partner and I agreed that the final score could be 16-3. So if you're going to cover it, maybe something like that.
A couple national games. Now that Syracuse got bludgeoned by Maryland, the Clemson line is up to 4 touchdowns. Can Syracuse hang here?
No, they have had a couple of fraud box scores. They held Liberty scoreless in the first week. Liberty got it down in the red zone a couple times and then tripped over their own feet and gave the ball away. Liberty should have easily covered that game and given Syracuse more of something. Syracuse got blown out by Maryland. It wasn't pretty. Too many explosive plays by the Terps. Syracuse is not the team that we've seen the last 2 years. 2 years ago, Kelly Bryant got knocked out up in the Carrier Dome, handed Clemson their only loss of the regular season. Last year, they popped Trevor Lawrence. He had to come out of game in their biggest scare of the season. Dabo doesn't forget. Trevor Lawrence doesn't forget. I think that defense could shut Syracuse, keep them under 10 points.
And then College Game Day is out at Iowa State. That's what kind of week it is. It's Iowa State against Iowa. But I saw a couple notes here. Two trends. Very interesting. Iowa is on a 16-1-1 run as a road favorite, which is crazy. And then Iowa State, though, is on a 9-2-2 run as a home underdog. Iowa being the favorite here on the road, they are favored by a few, I think. What's the best side here?
The best side is to play this live. So when I say that, you need to have a sports book that takes live bets. So I'll give you an example. When I go to Las Vegas, I bet in Stations Casinos. And Stations is a place, you think of Caesars or you think of some of the bigger sports books. You can go to a Station sports book and they offer live lines. And why would I want a live line in this game? Because I think +3 is good on both sides. Iowa State scores, you want to go to the window and buy Iowa +3. Iowa scores, you want to go to the window and buy Iowa State +3. That way you've got both sides. If it lands in the middle, you cash both tickets. If it lands outside of +3, you wash your hands. And that's how close I think this game is going to be. My problem with Iowa State and hopping on this train has nothing to do with the fact that they struggled with Northern Iowa or that they beat them by 3, because that happened last year when they beat Drake by 3. My problem with Iowa State is that they lost both of their corners and they have not been tested on the outside. And Nate Stanley is going to punish them out on the corners. And he's going to have that free pass all day against some very inexperienced cornerbacks. And so I like Iowa to win the game, but financially and investment wise with my money, I'm playing this one live and I'm looking to get +3 on both sides.
What's your big bet of the week?
Temple. I was just texting a friend. He's like, how much should I bet? And I said, don't ask me that. Temple, I think Maryland is under the perception right now by the entire nation that they can contend with the Ohio States and the Michigan States of the world. That number got up to 7.5. Myself and plenty of other people came in on Temple. Temple is a very disciplined team. This is Jeff Collins' players. He's down at Georgia Tech. But this is still his scheme. This is still his players. They're very disciplined. They're very good on defense. Maryland's going to have a very tough time in this game. I think their box scores against Howard and Syracuse don't really paint the whole story. Those are two teams that are not – Howard's horrible. I mean, they're one of the worst FCS teams around, and Syracuse is really starting to fall off a cliff. We're going to find out more about them. But Maryland has been inflated so high, the public perception on them is that they can contend, and they can't. And 7.5 and 7 points is too much to give Temple.
All right, sir. We'll catch up with you again next week. Thanks, Colin.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.